Happy Sunday afternoon, and welcome to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. We are fortunate today. Sheena's out of town at a conference, and which is kind of interesting to me, because when I go to fitness conferences, about half the conference, what I do is go and hear lectures, and then the other half is we do active stuff. And I wonder, at a nutrition conference, do they get lectured to for half of the conference and then go eat for the other half? I'll let you know when Sheena gets back. We'll put her on the scales and see if she's gained weight. But we're fortunate to have a blast from the past, not so long ago past. We got Whitney Pape with us today from University Recreation, who did the show with us for the first year. And Whitney, it's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back. I feel like, didn't I do another show with you?
You
were out.
With Sheena when I was
with
out.
With Sheena, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of fun. It was kind of girl power. We liked it.
Right, thank you.
We kind of were thinking about taking over the show, actually, but,
right.
You know.
I heard that you guys did a show on sleep.
Probably.
And you put everybody to sleep. From what I understand.
Y'all can't see my face, but I'm laughing.
Anyway, yeah. It has been a while, though. I get to see you every day, but,
yeah.
You know, hey, you're busy at doing your job every day.
Yeah. I've been really busy. You know, typically the first part of the semester is our busiest time with all of our classes and personal training, but I mean, now I kind of feel like now we're on the end of fall break. I kind of had a little, you know, my own little break. But, I mean, I also get to teach, you know, adjunct classes with kinesiology. That's been fun. You know, just, I don't know, just trying to balance everything out.
Right. Well, with your new job, and I know a lot of people don't realize, you know, you're on the kind of on, you're still on the front lines. You do a lot with group exercise, and you have a lot of interaction with students.
Yeah.
But, you know, now with you, you know, being over group exercise and personal training, a lot more for you to do.
Yes.
Does that mean less interaction time with you?
You mean just like with me and the students?
With the students, yes.
Actually, I think it's more interaction time. At least I try to make myself
really
interact more with the students. Yeah. Right. Well, because now that personal trainers are, you know, under me, I try to go and, you know, visit them in the studio. So, I mean, it's been good. It's been challenging trying
right.
to kind of, you know, my days are very packed, which I like, but
right.
I don't think it's been less.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, are you getting to teach as many classes as you normally do? Because I hear people all the time talking about coming to your classes and loving your classes.
Yeah, it's about the same load. I actually just had to take over a couple extra classes because one of our instructors left, who we're going to really miss. But taking over, you know, a couple extra yoga classes to teach. So,
right.
But I like it because it's kind of, even though I'm working and it's my job, I enjoy what I do, so it doesn't feel like work.
Right.
So.
And I've watched you over the years in yoga. You've gone from more dance type stuff, which it was – your forte,
which I still do.
Yeah, and you do well.
Well, thanks.
But the yoga stuff, you've kind of, it seems like you like mind body stuff a lot more now.
It's my number one way that I'm going to be physically active is
right.
going to be yoga, hands down.
And do you see that being a trend within our facility as well as other facilities around
hands
the country?
Hands down. Yeah, yoga. I mean, if it's not just a traditional sense of, you know, the meditation side of yoga, there's all these different hybrid type classes. So it's definitely, at least for now, it's the trend of fitness.
Right. Yeah. And we've had trends such as spinning, which is a trend to stay.
Yeah.
You know, it's turned into, you know, mainstream fitness and that sort of thing. So I think with your knowledge of yoga plus your background on everything else will work really, really well with our topic today.
Yeah.
And we're going to get into that in just a little bit. We're fortunate to have a couple of really important guests here sitting in the studio with us today. So anyway, looking forward to talking with them and getting to talk with you again.
Yeah, so, cool. Glad to be back.
Yeah. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and get into our topic for the day. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. We're back here this afternoon with Whitney back with us again. Nice to have her, and a great topic. And just a quick overview for those of you that you know haven't listened to our show before. People other than my mom,
that and, she's and Stephen
and Stephen Middleton, yeah. Our regulars. But what we like to do is we like to cover various wellness topics. And for those of you that are not familiar with the wellness term and what that means, for me, I used to always hear that term, Whitney, I'm not sure about you, but it takes me back to Jane Fonda and, you know, leg warmers and that sort of thing. You know, wellness wellness and well-being is made a comeback, you know, and rightfully so. When we look at what we do for students overall in the Department of Student Life, in Division of Student Life, you know, everybody is striving for wellness in some form or fashion. So, you know, with the Student Rec Center, people always assume physical wellness. But, you know, there's a lot of social interaction there, too.
Yeah, definitely social and emotional.
Emotional, yes.
Yeah, and there was another one I was thinking of. My mind just went blank on the dimensions.
You know, well, the spiritual with what you do with the yoga and that sort of thing.
For sure.
You know, definitely the environmental. Mm-hmm. You know, you were creating a safe, healthy environment to work out in. Mm-hmm. And it's not a bad environment by any stretch of the imagination. So, you know, we kind of hit on all of those things. And a lot of the departments within the Division of Student Life hit on all of those things.
Yes.
It's just a matter of which ones they focus on more.
Yes.
But I think as a division, we do such a good job of doing that. And, you know, we're fortunate today to have a couple of guys from the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Center here on campus. And, you know, I guess it was just a couple of weeks ago we had a representative from that department come and talk to University Recreation.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to learn a lot.
Yeah.
Just at that point by having
Jaime
come over. But we have Dr. Gerard Love and John Lovett here today. And thank you guys for being here with us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Right, we got tons of questions for y'all. So sit back and and prepare. We're going to just rapid fire here, okay?
Let's do it.
Okay. in all seriousness, just kind of the history of what you guys do on our campus or how it's been done on our campus. From the way Jaime explained it to us when he talked to our department, you know, it's relatively new in the form that it is now. Can you guys give us a history of kind of what that has looked like in the past?
Well, I can talk to you about our current state, and then maybe we could work backwards from that. And
sure.
John could fill in on some of the history since
he's
been here longer than I have. We're a brand new department, so we're the combination of Impact and the Collegiate Recovery Community. Used to be housed in two separate locations. Now we're under one roof in South Lawn Office Building.
Okay.
New name for the department with these two combined services. It's Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services. So what we're doing is that we're providing a continuum of care for students that have concerns about substance use. We're also providing services for students that are exploring their identity with substances and maybe contemplating getting into recovery. And then the other part that's historically been a big part of our programming is providing full-service programming for students who are in active recovery. That means that they're actively pursuing recovery, drug and alcohol-free, 100% abstinent.
Mm. Right, okay. Just kind of moving, taking a step backwards from that, prior to this, where did we stand on campus?
Yeah, so I went to school here. Mm-hmm. I started in 2005, graduated in 2009.
Okay.
And did the whole fraternity thing, went through, and had a lot of interactions with people that, quite frankly, could have probably used something like this.
Right.
But oftentimes what I find about something like this, you hear Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services, it sounds horrible. It sounds like it sounds like the show Intervention. Okay, there's going to be a room of people, like this is going to be bad. But really what it is and kind of what our heart around it is having a place that sort of mimics what a modern fraternity house kind of looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a place where you come grab a cup of coffee between class. It's a place where you can come and hang out with your friends. We have, you know, lunches on Wednesdays. We do dinners. We do outings. We got tailgates, you know. Mm. So all the things that you may think you would miss mm-hmm. if you were abstinent from drugs or alcohol mm-hmm. on campus, we try to make sure that we have a place that kind of provides that in a fun atmosphere. And right. so really before that, it was non-existent. Mm-hmm. Really the former director of the Student Health Center used to personally take students to treatment on his own dime. And really that was our only mm-hmm. answer for this sort of wow. thing. Mm-hmm. And so, over time, passionate individuals kept getting together, and more students were being sent to other universities that had these programs. Right. And our administration finally said, this is too much. We got to keep our people here. And right. so we started the initiatives and started a collegiate recovery community in 2012.
Okay.
And then that's been going since that point. And then in September 2016, we started what is kind of today.
What is a great program.
Yeah, it's awesome.
What is a really great program. Mm-hmm. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
No, I'm listening because I love the idea of like how y'all do the sober tailgates and y'all have all these events. Cause like my brother's actually a recovering addict. And so I know all about the balloons and everything. Cause he goes to a lot of fish shows and, you know, music events and stuff. And so he always kind of jokes about, you know, the balloons. I was like, wait, what are you talking about? And then I remember when we had our meeting and y'all were kind of talking about, I was like, I know what the yellow balloons are. I would go hang out because myself, I don't take part in any of that. I mean, I just, you know, I would come to y'all's tailgate. I think it'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I have a friend, and he would not mind me saying this at all, who attended school here at the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. And I won't say what year, but we were back a ways before any of this existed. Mm. But, you know, he was fortunate enough to, you know, everybody thinks that this is such a big university and mm-hmm. you can get lost in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was a freshman here out of state, and he did that freshman thing. He came in partying all the time, you know, having a good time. Almost failed out of school, and a professor took some interest in him, mm-hmm. kind of took him under his wing, mm-hmm. You know, got him straightened out. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of it is he, you know, he got his degree in something totally different from me. But he comes in later, gets his master's in exercise phys, gets his PhD in exercise phys. Not only does he move up from being an associate professor to a full professor to a department chair, now he's a dean of a graduate school.
Absolutely.
it's a great story. I mean, it really is. And just seeing and seeing what you guys do and how you guys take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing I got from Jaime from talking to him, and just what little bit I've talked to you guys, it's like, y'all have a personal interest in individuals.
Mm-hmm.
No question.
For sure.
Yeah. And that story is replicated every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, every semester that we have graduates, you know, you'll have folks that come back that are now, you know, managers and directors and, right. you know, in corporate and different companies and, you know, from where they started when they came to your doorstep wondering if going back to college was even possible.
Mm. Right.
To, mm-hmm. you know, confidently going into job interviews and, you know, feeling a part and having a home again here at Alabama is really a special thing.
Right. It's so neat to see that and see. And one more time, I know Whitney mentioned it and you briefly mentioned it. The tailgate that you guys always have.
Yeah.
Let's throw that out there real quick. We got to go to break in just a second. But tell us a little bit about that. Y'all have that every weekend, right? Every home weekend, obviously.
Every home game, we have the sober tailgate.
Okay.
We're located just to the right of Denny Chimes. I'm right there on the quad, so we're front and center. Mm-hmm. We're not a secret. And you mentioned the yellow balloons. I think the key thing about that is letting people know that there's a place where they can go hang out with other people that are pursuing recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that we don't have alcohol and drugs, mm-hmm. that it's an alcohol and drug-free event, but the people that are there actually pursuing recovery. It's a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we're there for every home game to support our students that are in recovery. And right. we get to celebrate along with everyone else.
Right. Mm-hmm. Outstanding. So the key there is to look for the yellow balloons.
Absolutely.
Follow the balloons and drop by and see you guys regardless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Great. Well, good deal. We have to take a quick break. Hope you guys will stay with us, and we'll be back with more from the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Center and learning more about what you guys have to offer, if you can hang around with us for a little bit. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to 50 Tide on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied. This is Whitney, and I'm stepping in for Sheena because she is out, but we do miss her. We're just continuing our discussion with the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services, just talking about all the events and the options that are out there and really why they are here on campus, and just continuing our conversation. So, you know, Gerard and John, what kind of led you guys into, you know, your personal experience maybe doing this, or you know, your background in to working with collegiate recovery?
Well, I've been working in the drug and alcohol field for the past 30 years. I started off as a clinician. Then as I made my way through graduate school, I ended up being a faculty member. So I developed a master's program in addiction counseling. Mm. And so I left the university where I got my doctorate to go off and run that program. While I was there, I also developed what would be the same thing as what we have here called IMPACT, as well as a residential collegiate recovery program. So it's been something that I've always had a really strong interest in. I have personal experiences in my personal life and extended family with drug and alcohol addiction and a little bit of recovery. I wish there was more, but more on the other side. And so it was an odd route getting into the field, but the thing that I would like everyone to know about the field is that, and it links back to what we were talking about before about how successful our students are. People always want to compartmentalize drug and alcohol people and put them in this box as if there's, you know, there's something special, or even sometimes people think there's something wrong with them. It's all of us. Mm-hmm. And if everyone took an honest look at their family tree, they would realize that there's addiction and recovery in everyone's family tree. Drug and alcohol clients and people in recovery are the most wonderful people in the world. So they're amazing to work with. We form these great relationships with these students. I mean, they feel like they're, I refer to them as your bonus family. You have your own family, and the students in the CRC are a bonus family. We have close connections with them, do everything we possibly can to support them. So, you know, in addition to my history of working in the field, it's really that connection with the student and seeing how beautifully their lives continue to transform and evolve. It's just really wonderful, rewarding work.
Mm-hmm. Wow, thank you.
And then for me, mine's a little more odd of a route than even Gerard's was. So through school, I was a financial planning major. Mm-hmm. And I worked for the Dean of Students Office and did some work with the Office of Student Conduct because he also had a he was also the executive director of conduct. So through that, I got a GA position, ended up working for conduct. And through that position, met multiple students in active addiction. One in particular that was, you know, upset and had no options and was, you know, asking me as a 22-year-old conduct officer, you know, can you help me? Mm-hmm. And I had no solutions. Mm-hmm. I had to tell him no. And so it was crushing. And so we sent him to treatment with the old director of the student health center, and he did the whole thing. And it was just this really fantastic experience getting him help. And then he got clean and went to a CRC and graduated and got his MBA. And now he's, you know, working professional. And I still keep in touch with him to this day, the very first student. But that's what changed my trajectory to doing my master's thesis in collegiate recovery and now doing my doctorate at UAB towards the same healthcare administration stuff. So really it's just been a work of passion for me.
It's really interesting to hear. I mean, it's almost like somebody comes to anybody for help around here, it's like they're not going to fall through the cracks.
Absolutely.
I assume you guys probably have lots of collaborations on campus with the other departments that you work with. Are there any in particular that, you know, let me back up just a second. If somebody wanted to come see you guys, okay, you're located in the South Lawn office building. Okay, is that where they come to see you if they need to see you?
Yes. It's the old counseling center.
Yep.
So the counseling center moved in the same building just to the right side, and then we took over the side that they used to occupy. So South Lawn, it's on the same road as UAPD.
Right.
Jackson Avenue, right beside the law school.
Okay. So when somebody comes in, can you give us like kind of a quick overview of what that would look like if I come in to see you? What steps are involved in that process? What am I responsible for bringing anything to you? other than myself?
No, not really. I mean, in addition to the actual location, I can give you our telephone number as well.
Right.
The 348-2727.
Okay.
So if people didn't want to just show up, they could call. Right. Really, we'd prefer if you had an appointment, but you don't need to have an appointment.
Okay.
And on a daily basis, sometimes, you know, people stop by. Mm-hmm. You know, they'd want to reach out to someone.
Right.
There are different ways. People have different desires whenever they come to see us. So mm-hmm. to answer your question, we offer drug and alcohol counseling. So you might be coming in because you got in trouble, or maybe, you know, your parents are upset with you because of, you know, a few things that happened over the weekend. So mm-hmm. they might ask you to come in for counseling. You may decide on your own that you want to come in for drug and alcohol counseling. So we offer those services with licensed clinicians. We mm-hmm. also offer family counseling mm-hmm. as well, because addiction typically is viewed as a family disease.
Right.
So it's helpful to have those services. But a person that's coming in may not necessarily be addicted, and that's part of the exploration process, mm-hmm. is that you're coming in to find out, well, things aren't going well with me in alcohol, or things aren't going well with me in smoking as much weed as I've been smoking. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk with someone about that.
Right.
So that initial kind of contact with us could be because you want to explore your relationship with substances.
Gotcha.
Then, on the other hand, it could be that you're coming in because maybe you've transferred here, you're a first semester freshman, you're already in recovery, or you've maybe been to treatment before, and you're starting to view yourself as someone in recovery. So you also might come to see us because you're interested in finding out what kind of support we could offer you as you're pursuing recovery. So really kind of, that whole continuum of substance mm-hmm. abuse counseling mm-hmm. all the way to people that already know that they're an addict, mm-hmm. work a 12-step program, abstinent. And mm-hmm. so those are the other people that come to see us. And that's a piece of cake. You walk in, we do an assessment, yeah. and then you just blend right into our family.
Absolutely. Right. And, you know, to add to what he was saying about just the kind of the desire, willingness part. So we've even got some students that are in recovery, but they have a roommate that may smoke or may mm-hmm. do something that they would prefer not to be associated with. And so they'll just come up to the center and grab coffee and hang out and watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
And, what's going on, you know, stuff's going back at the apartment. So it really is also just a safe space. You can always come there
mm-hmm. right.
if things aren't going well. You don't have to have an appointment. Mm-hmm. You can show up. We have somebody there from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. every day through the week. We have 12-step meetings on Wednesday afternoons at 12 and at Friday nights at 7 o'clock. And so really there's usually people hanging around and somebody to talk to.
So. And that's so comforting, you know, because I feel like in any kind of situation, you have to be in the right environment to kind of, you know, help you through those things. So it's nice that, you know, it is such a safe place for people to go, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of students that really benefit from that. And there's probably a lot. Hopefully, I hope there's some people listening to our show this afternoon.
That's right. What I'm hoping. Yeah.
That
absolutely.
They know that this is available and, you know, that they can come and just hang out. If, you know, like you said, if their roommate is doing something they don't want to do and they feel a little pressured, it's a place to go. It's a safe space.
Absolutely.
Where they're welcome.
We're on the bus route. So, you know, the bus will drop you off there.
Okay.
It's the East Edge, you know, bus route. And, you know, you don't really have to have, again, any qualifications
yeah.
or membership, just kind of showing up and right. there'll be somebody there playing Xbox or watching TV mm-hmm. or
right.
so I mean it's a cool place to
hang
out.
Yeah, the way you guys described it when we were talking prior to the show starting is like, just sounds like a great place just to go hang out.
It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Well, lots and lots of other things to get into with you guys. Y'all good for another segment with us, another 10-minute segment?
Well,
y'all
sure.
want one anywhere, we're going to hold you here. All right, guys, we have to take a quick break. Lots of good information here this afternoon, and we'll continue that in just a minute. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone this Sunday afternoon. We thank you for spending part of your afternoon with us. We are Sheena-less, as I should say, today. I hope she's having a good conference without us. And
eating well. I know she does. She usually, when she goes to conferences, she sends me pictures of food that she's eating. So,
yeah.
But it is great to have Whitney here with me again. But once again, we're with the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services here on campus, and getting some great information. And one thing, we were talking before we went to the break about, you know, just the atmosphere that you guys provide over there. I haven't been in there, but from just hearing you guys talk prior to the show and the way you describe it now, it sounds like a great place to go. And it, you know, the Collegiate Recovery and Intervention name, although it might sound intimidating, sounds like a fun place to go.
Yeah,
it absolutely is. Yeah,
yeah. So that being said, one thing I almost asked you guys a minute ago. When someone comes in, when it comes to confidentiality and, you know, your background with student conduct,
right.
You know, I know that's probably on a lot of students' mind. If
absolutely.
I come to see you, am I going straight to student conduct because of this? So
no, yeah, that's something that's really important to know is, you know, this isn't. There's the confidentiality involved is in place for a reason, and so you can come there and share your struggles and what's going on in your life. And you know, we've had other people that have come in and that's been their last day they've used, so they might have had some residual effects still going on, but you know, that doesn't preclude you from coming around. And you know, when we say it's fun and we say it's inclusive, you hear that on the radio and you think, all right, it's a university show with mm-hmm. university people on it, it's quote fun.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But it really is fun. Like
right.
It actually is fun. Like you're going to get there and think, okay, this is nothing like right. anything else I've been to on campus. So right. really, I would just encourage anybody out there that's listening or that may have, you know, be in recovery or be abstinent for a time and just be contemplating this way of life, come by and see us. Just give us a shot. Our social media is at Bama Recovery, and so we'll put up any tailgates or events that we're doing. That's Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. And then, again, our phone number is 2727. So.
Okay, 348-2727.
That's it.
And like I said, you guys do prefer – it is better if you have an appointment to come in, but you guys take drop-ins as well.
Absolutely. Yep.
So, yeah. Great. Well, let me ask you this. You know, with football season being here and, you know, we have a couple of teams that we play that are within driving distance and a lot of students travel to other ball games. You know, you guys have students that are part of this program. Do other schools have similar programs and things that they can get involved in if they were to go to a tailgate somewhere else or that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's highly likely that when someone's going to another campus that they're going to find a collegiate recovery community like we have here. They vary nationally. It's really been an explosion of late. We started off historically in the late 70s, early 80s with, you know, under 10 programs across the country. Now there's about 140 plus, probably a good 15 or 20 that are in developmental stages. Really depends on how progressive the university is and how much they truly are committed to their belief that we're here to support our students.
Right.
There are students that are obviously abusing substances on every campus, but there are also students that are in recovery on every campus.
Right.
So
right.
You could likely find something very similar at other universities, you know, right. across the country. We, with talking about the yellow balloons before, people have recognized the yellow balloons, and we've had people stop in at our home games that aren't even connected with us. They see the yellow
really?
Balloons, and, you know, when they come on by,
right.
they're a little bit shy when they first arrive, saying, "So I see the yellow balloons, and I'm assuming the yellow balloons might mean," and then we're like, "Yes, it does." So then,
right.
so then it's and that does exactly what collegiate recovery programs are supposed to do. You know,
yes.
again, there's a difference between being in a tent where there's no alcohol served, right? That
yes.
could happen anywhere. Mm-hmm. This is a tent where recovery is being pursued. So recovery doesn't include drugs and alcohol, but there's something else. It's mm-hmm. the behaviors, it's the beliefs, mm-hmm. it's being around other people that are pursuing and want the same thing that
right.
you want, mm-hmm. and that is to make it through another day clean and sober.
Right.
And to be joyous in that process. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why when we think about the CRC and we talk about it being a fun place and a happy place, it truly is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think if you were a parent and you were getting ready to drop your child off at college, mm-hmm. and your child just completed treatment, mm-hmm. you'd be a nervous wreck.
Oh, of course,
right?
Yeah.
Because we don't have any specific particular problem at the University of Alabama. We're just kind of going along with the rest of the national trends. Mm-hmm. College students do a little exploration when it comes to drinking and recreational drug use at all universities coast to coast. But if you had a child in recovery, you would want to pick a university that had an amazing collegiate recovery program so they get the support and they're around other people that are also pursuing recovery, right. As opposed to sending them to a college in the mountains where no one drinks, right?
Right.
It's not the same thing.
Right.
You want to be around other people that experience similar things in treatment but also know what recovery is. So, and I think that's what's unique about what we offer is that we have a really well-developed program, lots and lots of services for our students. So it's not just a room. Mm-hmm. We have lots and lots of programming, lots of support.
Right.
Yeah, and if you look up, so collegiate recovery programs historically, there's sort of a set of requirements to get in the door. Mm. One of the big ones being you have to have at least 12 months clean. Mm. So that was our model starting in 2012, mm-hmm. and that's most of the universities around the country is that 12-month mark. Well, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Right.
And if you're, in recovery, that's really, that's a significant milestone. Statistics, you know, jump up that you will maintain your sobriety long term if you hit that year point.
Right.
But we were losing a lot of students that would get 6 months, 8 months. Mm-hmm. And
right.
so what we've done, what Jaime has actually done, is created an intermediate program that allows anyone from 1 day clean to 9 years clean to come into our program and be accepted and be a part, and you're right in the game. And so that's really where our model has started to separate itself from the national model, as we were trying to be a lot more inclusive and not turn anyone away that has the willingness to get better.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so great to hear, because I know when I first started working out here, we were unfortunately a lot of people took a lot of pride in the fact that we were in the top 5 party schools in the United States. Mm. And you know, it's weird how, you know, 10-15 years later, we've got a program like this that we can be so proud of. I mean, and it's really, I have a daughter in school here, and I have a son who'll be going to school here next year. And yes, I'm from here, but if I had to send my kids somewhere to school, to be able to see so many people that are so caring and that are there for them. You know, I saw it when my daughter went through orientation, through all the steps of that process. But then, you know, it's just such a the university has done such a good job. And, you know, when you look at programs like you guys have, it's just awesome to have so many people that care about individuals and not about 37,000, 38,000 students. You know, I know that can be overwhelming, but it's great.
Yeah, and I mean, it really goes back to the principles of, you know, 12-step programs, and it really is, it kind of turns away from self and is about the group unity.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so really, you don't really find that a lot of places with a lot of organizations today, is it's usually a lot about me. Mm-hmm. What are you going to do for me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's these students that we have are so service-oriented and so giving. And they're so just willing to help out and participate, and they're fun. And I'm telling you, it seems too good to be true, but it's not. It's here.
Right. Well, it's great to me just to, I don't know about you, Whitney, but it just the sound of, you know, not being so clinical, but the fact that anybody can walk in there and just sit back, relax, have a good time, and whether you're trying to get away from something or get help for something.
It takes away the intimidation factor.
Yeah.
Being scared to think, I can't go get help. But really, everybody needs help.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just how it is. So,
we thank you guys so much for being with us. One more time before we go, your website, can you throw that out there for us, and your phone number?
Website, recovery.ua.edu. Our phone number is 348-2727. And our social media is at Bama Recovery.
Great. If you guys need help, these are the guys to see. Remember those numbers and that contact information. Thank you guys so much for being here with us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back to wrap things up. Fit to be Tied on 90.7 The Capstone. We'll be right back.
I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7, The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Title, 90.7, The Capstone, and we're about ready to wrap up our afternoon, just a few minutes here left, and just finished continuing our conversation with Collegiate Recovery Services here on campus, and I thought we had a lot of good information, wouldn't you say, Whit?
I think that was probably one of my favorite shows.
Yeah, it really
just full of information. And I know how, like, sometimes we always talk about, you know, the exercise side of things. We always talk about the fitness and the nutrition. But that's just such a different element, that there's literally people out there that really do want help and need help, and they just don't know where to go. And
right.
It's just good that we can provide that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only provide that information, but that they provide that service, because it sounds like, just from hearing them talk, like, it's just such a, an informal drop in. I know that they're great at what they do, because I've heard several of those mm-hmm. guys talk before. So you know that they're professionals, mm-hmm. but I think they've done such a good job of creating a good atmosphere where mm-hmm. anybody can walk in and mm-hmm. out and not feel intimidated mm-hmm. by it. You know, and it can be life-changing. I mean, it really
yeah.
can.
Yeah, that might be one person walking in to Collegiate Recovery and Intervention Services. That might be the one day that they, you know, decide, I want to get sober and I want the help to do
right.
that. So, I mean, I think it's great. And I'm so glad we have that on campus, because I think back to, you know, when I was in school here, and that was never even talked about. Like, no one
right.
ever brought that up. And now there's just such an awareness, because people really are hurting and need help. That I honestly see a lot of great things happening with that program on campus. You don't want something like that to expand
right.
for obvious reasons, uh-huh. but at the same time, if they're helping people and they're providing those opportunities and all the different collaborations, I mean, it's just an awesome thing.
Yeah, it really is. And for it to be such a new program, I mean, it is growing, and they have a lot of great people working over there. I've met several of those guys,
mm-hmm.
and I know you have too. And
mm-hmm.
It's just been great getting to meet them and see what they do. And I hate to keep going back to that caring thing, but it's like, they care about people. Nobody
right.
falls through the cracks. And,
right.
you know, if you need help and you go see them, they're going to take care of you.
They are. Yeah. And if they don't have the resources at that moment, they're going to find somebody that does.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to always watch out for you. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, so after this day, we'll have Sheena back, and we'll be losing you for a little while. I hope you'll continue to step in when we do need some help.
Yeah,
it's always nice having you back.
Well, thanks. I'll substitute sometime.
going back to over at the rec center,
yeah.
You know, we're kind of winding things down for
yes.
the semester.
Yes.
And by winding things down, what we would say for those of you that don't know, for those of you that are freshmen, or those of you that you know, are constantly used to a absolutely packed student recreation center. Now that we have the Witt Center on board,
mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have the overcrowding that we've had in the past.
No.
Yeah. And would you say, you know, numbers in November
mm-hmm.
For us, you know, obviously start to go down,
mm-hmm.
wind down with the semester.
Mm-hmm.
You know, between the two facilities, we still stay pretty busy. But, you know, for anybody that avoids using our facility because it's too busy, that's not an excuse this time of year.
Yeah, no, it's really not. I think I was just telling you earlier, I was, you know, down around town, and I saw some people going into another fitness center that were students. And I kind of thought to myself, why would you pay for a membership to just,
right.
you know, and, you know, and people can do what they want. But I thought, we're really not that busy this time of year. Honestly, once fall break hits and we are kind of on that downhill, I guess, decline towards Christmas, we just don't have as many participants, and that's okay, which actually is my favorite time of year because things do slow down. But I don't know, it's something to consider if you're wanting to come to the rec center. We're really not that busy.
Yeah, but there is lots of programs and lots of activities still going on. We don't slow those things down.
No.
So
yeah,
and you guys always have great classes going on, so lots of things to do without the overcrowding. So
that's right.
Good time to check it out.
Yep.
But anyway, we have to wrap things up. Looks like we're out of time for the afternoon. But we want to thank you for joining us on Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John, and hope you'll be back with us next week.